Mike said I wrote notes. Listen, I was going to say it on for stream. Mm-hmm. Maybe I will. Not today. You gonna get in trouble with me? Because you know that's what's gonna happen, right? They will be trying to put me on every talk show and so do you hate America? No. The system.
That's right.
Hate the system. No, it's evil. Let's stop. Let's get to the message here. There will be a time. Go back to Proverbs 16, please. And based on this, you will understand everything I just shared, some of it. Now, we went through all of this. Chapter 16 of Proverbs. This is where we've been for the past month. Can't get out of it. Now, I want you to pay attention to something. We ended last week on 9. A man's mind plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps and makes them sure. I want to add a balance. Or revelation, if you will, that I believe will be helpful to all of us. A man's mind plans its way. The Lord directs his steps and makes them sure. Now, if you just walked in on this, you missed the weeks before, but it talked about the proud and the arrogant. It talked about roll your cares on the Lord and he will make your thoughts agreeable with his will. So I want you to understand in reading this, this is not talking about as a man, I make my own decisions and do what I want to do. You see, even the Bible says so. No, we got scripture upon scripture from 1 on down that says a man in his own mind is right. God judges the thoughts of his heart. It also says that if you roll your cares on the Lord, or all of the full of your cares, he causes your thoughts to become agreeable with his will, and then your thoughts should be established, and then they should succeed. Now, I need us to understand when we get to this verse, and there's a few more, I'm going to go over that because then we won't get through the message. When we go back to this verse, it says, a man's mind plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps. So we're not talking about a man's mind from the point of view of a man's mind. We're talking about a man's mind from a point of view of a man who's rolled his cares, all his thoughts over on the Lord and allowed the Lord to direct his path or give him direction. So let me just put this foundation in it before we go forward in the message. Ready? It is this. There is two kind of minds that we flow from. There's an earthly mind or a natural mind. Or an educated mind, all of that I'm putting in the same realm. You know, intelligent, scholarly, schooled, educated, whatever mind. Nothing wrong with that. That's a good thing. But then he said, then there's the mind of Christ that's in you. Let this mind be in you, which is in Christ. The other one is the mind that's not really in your head, even though your brain and your head and your soul is, and your feelings and your emotions kind of work together. It's coming from two different places. Emotions react, thoughts, you act. We all know this, right? People say, you don't react, act. What do they mean? Sit down and think about it. Process a minute before you jump off and do something that causes you problems. Oh, if that was that easy. We usually react, especially if something hits you. It comes out, and then you think about it, and go, oh, shucks. How do I backpedal this? Now, what most people do is, maybe not y'all, but people y'all know. You lie and say, that's not what I meant. What I meant was, da-da-da-da-da-da-da, you misunderstood me. No, the tone and the wagging of the finger and the gesture, I understood you very clearly. You just didn't want me to hear that but it got out. So what you should say is you misunderstood me. You understood me very clearly. I shouldn't have said it that way and under that spirit, but what you heard is what you heard. And no matter how many times somebody say to you, you heard me wrong, you walk away in yourself saying, no, I didn't. No, I heard you're right. Am I correct? All right, so now, we're talking about a different mind now. We're talking about a mind where it's not just me stopping and thinking about it. Ready? It's me leaning on the other training and teaching that's the mind of Christ in me, or that, what you call that, spirit of peace, or let me give it to people who may not be as spiritual, that something told me thing that you'll throw up sometime. Something told me not to do that. Okay, but then something else told you to do it. And then you decided between the something that told you not to and the something that told you to. And usually the mind that told you to do it is the mind that's been educated by the world system. Life and its events and affairs. Am I doing okay right here? I don't want to try like I'm teaching a college class, but I do want to get the point across. So you're aware then that there are two minds, and TVL depicted as the good angel and the devil, and they're both saying, do it, don't do it, do it, don't do it, right? Well, in reality, it's not an angel and a good angel and a bad angel. It's not the devil. It's your thought processes versus the leadings of the spirit. They come to terms with you in situations. Now, reaction, you ready for this? Sure. Reaction or bad reaction? I don't know. You're sure? That comes from the area that's not yet submitted to the Lord. This is where it gets a little thicker, because that area shows up a little too much for a lot of us. But that's the area that's not surrendered to God. You have no control over it. It just jumps out of you like you said, like a demon, and just blah, and it comes out my mouth, and I say it, and I go, oh, my God, that's not what I was planning to say. I rehearsed it all the way here. And then that person said that thing, and it pushed my button, and that other non-submitted area of my life got out. Now I got to play cleanup. Now I got to try to Christianize it if I can. That's what church people do. Well, you know, I just believe the Lord needed me to say that for me. No, 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 no. Well, you know, God had a plan. No, 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 no. It was not under God's control and it got away from you. Am I the only person here? Because you're all looking at me like statues, like you don't know what I'm talking about. You didn't slip and cuss nobody out or say something nastier than you should have said it or none of that? Your kids can do that to you. Your kids say things and all of a sudden you're like, you ungrateful little. And it just gets away. Then you have to stop and go, forgive me, but you pushed me there. I see. Don't try to add filters to it. It was in there. It got out. The question is, why did it get out? Mm-hmm. Come on. Why did it get out? Well, it got out because in my life, when given the opportunities to surrender my mind to the Lord, those were areas that I protected because I felt they were well kept enough that I didn't need the Lord's help. In other words, let me just say this to you. Hurts, rejections, pains that life has inflicted on you that you've learned to deal with by putting on a tough front or acting a certain way or not letting nobody in or whatever that thing is, you, that so-called wink, wink wall that you put up to guard yourself from being hurt by this one or that saying. Or my mother always said to me every time I hear that word, it just gets me upset, you know. And we all have our triggers. We all do. But it, for us, was something we didn't want to open up to God because we figured we got that locked down that we don't even want God in it. I'm about to dive into some stuff today, so if you're okay, I'll continue. Pain creates prisons. The way we deal with the pain creates a prison within the prison. So a lot of us are living in bondage to things that hurt us or bruised us or confused us or whatever the case may be, intentionally or unintentionally, that certain things trigger a reaction from you that you have no control over, no matter how hard you try. And you said it wouldn't hurt you again, but it did. I've seen it in my life. I've seen it in people's lives. A woman will get a guy who is not a certain way to her, treats her wrong or abuses her, and she'll break up with him eventually, maybe after years and years of thinking it's going to be okay, and the next guy she gets is just like that. Attracted to that spirit. Drawn to it. Feel at home with it. Despise it, but feel at home with it. People that don't like to be rejected keep putting themselves in situations to be rejected. Am I telling the truth here or am I telling you lies? So we're talking about two different minds here. So when he says a man plans his ways, but God directs his steps, here we're going back to something here that's powerful. God is saying you can plan your ways with the skill sets that you've already developed, or you can plan your ways by the leading of my spirit. And that first comes from a place of, watch this. Are you listening to this? This is important. I've had to do this week. You listening to me? You may not call it this. You may have a nicer word for it. But I'm just going to throw it out there about myself and let you just deal with it yourself. All right? Telling God to butt out or to mind his business. When God starts to poke that sensitive area that you don't want God exposing, you're a little prideful. You're a little self-righteous. You're over-guarded right here. I need you to be a little more vulnerable right there. Because I know what people would do if I show too much care. People would take advantage of me. And God's like, okay, I'm not talking about people. I'm talking about me right now. I'll deal with the people if you let me deal with you. I promise you, the wave will come and you'll brace yourself for the pain, but it won't even hurt. It'll go right over you. See, these kind of messages don't usually get a lot of hoorah, but it's still necessary. Should I switch?
No.
So I've come to the realization that I make my plans and then my steps don't get directed, and I have to realize what mind I use then to make my plans. You're so serious today. Are you receiving something? Is this one of those words that's just for everybody? So then I'm going to take your silence as being fed, and I won't. Because some of you are not even looking at me. You're looking down. I'm going like, okay, am I off the mark here? But I can feel it in the room. I know I'm hitting something. So the Lord directs my steps. If my mind that plans my steps is open to his leading, two things. One, your education and your logic and your fulfillment or your understanding of things through life is what it is. That's what experience is, and nobody can take those from you. Two, the leading of the Holy Spirit will guide you even through those things and change the way you look at them and see them, so that things that were once destructive for you become strength. Things that were once the thing that made you feel broken down become the thing that God builds your foundation on. I don't know if you really want to understand it, but he said he takes the foolish thing to confound the wise. He takes those things that which are rejected. You understand something? God doesn't want to show off your education level. He doesn't want to show off your degrees. He doesn't even want to show off your anointing. He wants to build the foundation on that which is rejected, the things that's despised, he said. So there are things about you that you want to shun and not even look at, and God is saying, but I want to use that. How many times have you been led to do something that you ran away from for years, or have a conversation that you refused to have, and then once you did it, doors opened up? And we still don't want to learn. We still want to keep stuff hidden. We still want to be proud and make sure people say the right thing about me. Really? Here's what you're going to find out. It don't make a difference what you do. People that got something bad to say about you are going to say something bad about you anyway. And once I become successful, I'm going to show them they're still going to call you what they call you. I know it. I'm a living example. I remember I have nothing. I got to a whole different place. My whole life changed. People still talk crap. It don't make a difference. People don't hate you because of what you have or don't have. They hate you because they have an assignment to hate you. You didn't hear that. They hate you because they have an assignment to hate you. Say it again. It could be your own family. They have an assignment to hate you. The devil put a calling on them to minister hate to you. See, people have callings. Either from their soulish mind or from the spirit, but they have a calling. People go right to church with you. And all of a sudden, every time you see them, your whole inside turn inside out, because you already know as soon as they walk up to me, they're going to say something that's just going to mess my day up. That's their assignment. That's their assignment. It's where you are. So that's why I say I get up here and I tell on myself. Why? Well, now if you want to try to go tell on me, it's already told. If you want to tell some stories about me, I already put the story out there. Right on service and on YouTube and everything. There it is. So later in life, if people want to pull up my stuff and say, oh, yeah, well, back in such a day, you said this. I said, yeah, of course I did. You got the tape right there. There it is. I refuse to be in bondage to anything now. I want to be free, but that freedom doesn't come from walls and protection and hardening heart. He whom the Son makes free is free indeed. He whom the Son makes free. Well, how does the Son make you free? By the washing of the water of the Word, by you hiding the Word in your heart. You become stronger by becoming weaker and softer. And that's the thing that our flesh don't handle well. Because we really think we're self-protected when we put up a hard wall. But God said, no, as I let God tender my heart, God then protects my heart. Let me feed it to you like this. And I like to keep throwing scriptures in so we make sure I'm not just making up stuff off the top of my head. Ready? If I hold my peace... Wait, say it again? Okay, so we're hearing different translations of it, but even people that don't really go to church and read the Bible know how to answer that one. If I hold the peace, the Lord will fight my battles, right? You're listening to me, right? If I hold my what? That don't mean if I don't speak my mind. That means if I hold my peace. Now, what happens if you speak it? Then you're on your own. That's your battle now. You speak your mind, that's what you mean by speaking my peace. That's really not speaking your peace. That's speaking your anxiety, your frustration, your anger. That's what that is, right? That's not speaking your peace, is it? When you get mad and cuss somebody out, are you really speaking your peace? No, because the word said you go to the house and you speak peace to it, your peace remains. If it doesn't, if it comes back, he said leave. See, that's a whole different subject, but just throw that out as a tidbit. You know, you go somewhere and you speak peace and your peace returns to you. The problem is you didn't leave. That's why you got messed up. You need to know how to leave people. You need to turn and walk away. And sometimes you show up at a place and you just don't belong there. But my wife really wanted me to be there. When my mother really said I should be there. When you went there, was your peace violated? Leave. Scripture says it, leave. Leave if you speak peace to the place and that peace returns to you. Shake the dust off your feet and go. No, but I just thought God might make me want to make a difference. How did it turn out? Did it work? No? Well, maybe God didn't want you to do that. And now you're going to go the next time and do it again and fight with that same sister. I don't know who that was for, but. There comes a time that we have to learn to be led by our inner peace, by the Spirit, and not by our logical peace of our brains. This is a gift that we can think through a process. It is a gift that we can reason through things, but there are two types of reasoning, and it's one is of the natural resources and their limitations, and then the resources of the Spirit that have no limitations. And that kind of reasoning usually goes against earthly reason and doesn't look like it's going to work, but always works a million times better. Because somebody say, amen, I know what you're talking about. You know it? You know that to be a truth? It's a truth. Sure. When we're led by our own leadings, the outcome of that is what we bring to it and is limited to the knowledge that we have. And of course, the knowledge that the people who accept or hear your words have. You, when you're led by the Spirit, that goes against contemporary knowledge. Usually doesn't look like it's going to work, but always does. Why? If you go back earlier in the verse, I think it's verse 4, it says, let me just read it. I don't want to quote it. I don't want to guess it. I want to say it exactly where it's read. In the same chapter. Okay, Bible, really? See, a paper book wouldn't do that. You know, decided it wanted to reboot what I mean everything. Okay, at verse number 4. I'm reading from the Amplified Contemporary. It says, the Lord has made everything to accommodate itself and contribute to his own end and his own purpose. Even the wicked are fitted for their role for the day of calamity and evil. I won't go through all of that again today because we did it. It's on our old past messages. Go look at it. But let me just cover it a little bit. The Lord has made everything to accommodate and contribute. If it's God's call, what you're doing, you don't struggle with it. It accommodates itself. It don't ask you, can it live with you? It has its own place. And then it contributes. It pays its own bills. It don't ask you, can I live off of you? It contributes. See, I didn't want to preach on it, but I have to. Again. Because this is the scripture I'm standing on for my life right now. I just want to let you know, this is my lifeline right now. This is the scripture that I wake up and confess every day when I feel pressure come over me. I have businesses growing. I have things taking place in my life. And I have places that look like they're stuck. And I just want to bust through and break through the other side. And it's like, when I feel myself feeling pressured, it comes back to that word for me. God created everything to contribute and accommodate itself. If it's God, it supports itself. If God called you to it, then it takes care of itself. If it's God's calling, then it provides for itself. You mean I ain't got to do nothing? No, I'm meaning you're not struggling trying to figure out how you're going to pay the bills to do it and how you're going to get the money to do it. And I need to go back to school and I'm so frustrated. I don't know what I'm going to do. Did God call it? Because if he did, it would accommodate itself. And it will contribute to its own going. So one or two things are happening. You're not searching the Spirit of God to find out his direction. You're trying to do it in your own power, or God didn't call it. Pastor, you're just making it sound so simple. Oh, so you want to complicate it? It is that simple. Cast your thoughts on the Lord. He'll take care of it. He'll cause your thoughts, the verse before that, to become agreeable to his will. So Here's what this message is about in short. We choose to struggle. We choose to go through hardship. No, sometimes the Lord got to let you. Of course he has to let you because you choose it. And he honors your choice. Of course the Lord allowed it. Of course he did because you chose it. Now, but sometimes the Lord lets the devil. Where's the scripture that says that? You got a scripture for that? I know. I heard that on the Kurt Franklin song. But do you have a scripture that says that? That the Lord allows the devil to do anything? Wait a minute. I don't know. Maybe the translation we got was wrong. But in Mark chapter 16, didn't he say we were given all authority over principalities and powers and dominion and all spiritual wickedness in high places? Didn't it say we have authority over the devil and his demons to cast them out? It does say that, right? So God can't give power to two people at the same time against each other. House divided can't stand. God can't give the devil authority to do anything to me when he gave me power over him. God's not schizophrenic. He's not mixed up in, okay, you the boss, and then go down and say, no, you the boss. Fire her. No, you fire her. God, fire each other. It doesn't work that way. Either one person is the boss and the other one is not. Are you understand what I'm saying? So God is not the author of confusion. If he gave you the authority over Satan and all his powers, he made you the boss. How can he then go to the devil and say, I want you to go teach her a lesson. Go do something to her. Now, church folk get upset about that because their logical mind says, well, I've heard that my whole life. That's what I've been taught. If I'm going through something, God's trying to teach me something. So if this is happening to me in my life, then it must be the will of God that I go through it. Watch this. Where I ever going to God and finding out if it is. I remember somebody said to me, well, if it's God's will, I'd be healed. I said, well, I can give you five scriptures right now, and it says it is. Are you supposing there's a will that's not in the Bible of God's? He was wounded for your transgression. Let's just stop right there. And by his stripes, you were healed and made whole. Can we stop with that one? If it's God's will, so have a good night. See you tomorrow. If God's willing, really? God told you dying tonight? You're just trying to sound spiritual and deep, and you sound like an idiot. That means you don't know what God's will is. That means you're not seeking God to know his will, because you should know what God's will for your life is. See, this is where people kind of shut me off a little bit, but I'm telling you this. Don't tell me the Lord works in mysterious ways, because that's not scriptural either. He said, you have not, because you ask not. Ask and you should receive. Seek and you should find. Knock and the door should be open. So God is not trying to keep anything from you. Mark 11, 4:11 says, it has been given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. So there's no mysteries that God works in that you can't know if you don't ask. You have not because it's real simple. Now, people take that to mean, see, the reason I don't have the car I want is because I didn't ask for it. But Pastor, I asked for it, then I didn't get it. It is not talking about cars because they didn't have cars back then. He's talking about you don't have direction and wisdom because you're not asking. Then he said, and then you ask amiss that you may consume it upon your own lust. You ask for a bunch of stuff just to make you happy. But this thing is saying your thoughts become agreeable with his will. Let me plant a seed here just so you understand as I bring this to a home, to a close. And I hope I didn't trouble people too much today, but I figured this was one of those messages that you might not jump around and shout about, but it's still useful nonetheless. The plan of the Lord is to get your thoughts to be agreeable with his will, because his plan for you is better than your plan for you. Again, I start the message by saying, you got that place where you're saying, God, mind your business, keep out, I got this. God's like, no, you got nothing. I want everything. You've been purchased with a price. I want all of you. Draw nigh to me, I draw nigh unto you. Yeah, I keep throwing a lot of scriptures because I want you to understand. I'm not just sitting up and preaching a message. I'm telling you what I face to get from where I am to where I am today to where I'm trying to go tomorrow. And I know that every single time God, through the Bible, not just in my life, wants to do anything great with his people, there's a season of rebuke. There's always a season of correction. Look all through the book of Revelation. This is great about you. However, I find this for. He didn't have one church that he had an issue with. These are, you're good here, but right here you're falling off. Because you stay where you are with the revelation you have. I've been walking with the Lord for 20 years. So what? You'll be walking in the same circle for the next 20 years if you don't let God correct you to take you to the next level that he wants to take you to. So there's a part of your spirit that has to be shut off. And that's the soulish part. That part of you that knows. I know Jesus. I've been walking with the Lord for this. So what? And what has that gotten you? See, you have to get to a point where you're saying, I knew the Lord here, but now I need to know the Lord there. I knew the Lord in this place, but now I need to learn the Lord in that place. I need to grow, my God. I need to grow from the comfortable place that God has given to me and allowed me to have. Thank you, Lord, for it. I appreciate it. But I do not want to say, okay, Lord, this is good. Let's build 3 tabernacles, one for Elijah, one for Moses, and one for you, and let us stay here. And God spoke from heaven and said to them, this is my son. Hear ye him. We are called to hear him, not tell him what our plans are. We're called to consistently grow in hearing him and not get comfortable with the blessings to the point. Appreciate the blessings, but don't stay there. A man's mind plans his way. What mind is planned in your way? The mind of what God did or the mind of what God is going to do? Because church folk can get stuck in the mind of what God did. And they think God got to keep doing it that way. I got the same scriptures taped to my refrigerator. I'm quoting the same thing the same way. And God going to move for me like he moved before. And it don't happen. And then you start saying, well, maybe the Lord, you know. And now you get to maybe the Lord. And that right there says to you, you haven't taken the time to find out what the Lord is saying if you got to say maybe the Lord. I have to do this to myself regularly. I mean, literally, several times a day, I get off into doing what I do the way I do it because I know how to do it because I know what has worked. God gonna bless this. God said, no, I'm not. I ain't gonna curse it. You're not doing anything wrong. I'm gonna sustain you right there, but you're not gonna see the next move continuing to do what I've already left. You're not going to continue to prosper in yesterday's anointing. See, church people don't like to hear stuff like this. They want a formula. Just confess this. Come and throw some money down at the altar. I see the Lord speaking. Shama lama 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 la. I see 10 people right now. Come and bring a special seat. I think the head of the Lord saying 5. Okay, first of all, I don't want to hear you talk because you thinking you're hearing the Lord. You shouldn't even open your mouth until you heard for sure. Just shut up. Just go sit down somewhere and stop talking. If you guys just say, I think I feel it, I think the Lord is saying, then don't talk until you know. I'm not going to stand up here and say, I believe. You should have done that before you came downstairs and got on the platform and did all that, say la 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 la, and got the word and then come down and spoke. Go back home and finish and then come and share what God has for you. If you don't know what God is saying, then guess what? It's your obligation to know. Somebody say, it's my responsibility to know what God is saying to me. That's my responsibility. Not the pastors, not the prophet, not the prophet line you called and send $50 to. No, it's your responsibility to get before God and find out what God is saying to you in this season right now. It's your responsibility. It's my responsibility. So I've come to this real revelation as a pastor. In the beginning, I was trying to hold everybody's hand and put everybody on my back and carry everybody into the promised land. Only find out that's a way to get some real bad knees and some real fractured spines. And then they stare at one. And once you can't carry them no more, then they turn around and cuss you out and they call you all kind of bad names because you refuse to keep carrying. And it wasn't that I even refused to keep carrying. It's just I couldn't do it anymore. I was being crushed under the weight of everybody else's ambition. So I don't carry anymore. I direct that way. Pastor, I need your help that way. You got a Bible? Yep. Turn right there. Come back and tell me what you got. No matter how much I try. I'm going to share a side story and I'm going to wrap it up. So, Jason get a kick out of this. Network marketing. He sends me this text message that he's gotten from this guy. He's in network marketing and he's in this thing, and this guy sent him this thing. I hate network marketing. Somebody was on his team. Everywhere I go, I keep getting a no. Did Melaleuca, he named Brook Moore down. And everything was no, 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 no. I can't stand this thing. How do I make a no into a yes? Just tell me that. And Jason replied with one short sentence. Can you send me your tracking sheet? Basically, he wanted to see a list. Who you called? Let me see so we can. And there was no more responses. And days went by and there were no more responses. Why? Because he's not trying to do the word. He's trying to just complain about what ain't working. Church folk are famous for that. That's why I bring this up as a point. People come to me, I don't know what to do, Pastor. What did the scripture say that you read? Well, I don't. Did you open the Bible, pray? When you prayed to God, what did he say? Well, I just want you to pray with me. That's another thing. Could you pray for me? For what? Well, I don't know what I'm going to do about such and such and such. Did you seek the Lord about it at all? I prayed all night. I know you cried to God and complained like you're doing to me right now. Did you open the word and then God give you an instruction at all? Now, I've had people that's honest with me say, Pastor, I can't really hear God. Okay, then let's sit down and talk about how to get you to hear God. You don't need me to tell you what to do about how to pay your card. No, you need to figure out what to do to hear God. Give a man a fish, he live for a day. Teach him to fish, right? We need to find out why you're in this situation. You're being evicted again. Every landlord in the world can't be bad. We need to find out why you got fired again. Don't pray for the next boss to be nice. What's wrong with you? You got an attitude or something that ain't right. You bring a bad spirit places people don't want you around. So, it's our responsibility to hear God. And I will direct you to hear God. At least come to me and say, I prayed about this, and this is the scriptures I'm standing on. I'm still a little lost right now. I need some help, but this is what I'm trying to stand on. And bring me something. But don't come to me and ask me to read the Bible for you, pray for you, give you a private sermon after service is over, and preach directly to you because you didn't do any reading or study yourself. I've asked people, they come to me and say, well, between last Sunday and this Sunday, what did you read? What did you pray? Oh, so you just came Sunday and heard me preach and got excited, and then that's it. So you forgot probably everything I said. Now, the part I like, I didn't ask you what you like about the message. I don't care what you liked. What did God speak directly to you? Am I talking to you? I don't care. Oh, you know, the part you said this, that was powerful. So what? I know it's powerful. I'm living it. What are you doing with it? Stand with me. Wow, that's a short message. We have a responsibility to hear what God is saying to us. We have that. We need that. Now, say this. Say, Pastor's not beating us up. I need you to get this. Well, you weren't supposed to repeat that, but it's okay. You can say, I need to get this. It's not chewing you out for not listening. It's trying to get you out of the cycle of repeating the same things that don't work again and again. It's what it's about. It only takes 1 minute in a moment of crisis, confusion, fear, concern to stop, silence yourself. I know you might be saying, oh, I'm going to this. Okay, got that. God ain't mad that you share that. But at some point, you're listening to me. You got to stop all the madness of your mind, your earthly mind, and say, mind of the spirit, what am I missing here, or what do I need to do, or what do I need to change? It only takes a second to do that. The problem is, if you'll be honest with me, when you go into stuff sometime and you know you need to do that, for some reason your flesh fights against you. And I don't feel like opening no Bible right now. But this is what you need right now. I don't feel like praying right now. I just got to figure this out. 5 minutes. Stop for 5 minutes. Am I right? When you're in those moments, you just don't want to. I don't feel like praying. That's the enemy in your flesh is riding on you. I don't feel like praying right now. I don't want to hear no scriptures right now. I don't want, right? Don't be put on, would you please turn off Christian TV? I don't want to hear that right now. What you want to hear? You want to hear your frustration? You want to hear your confusion? You want to hear your pain? You want one more night with the frogs? That's what you want? I'm learning to say to myself, self, shut up. I hear you and I know what you want. I got you. I heard you. But I'm not listening to you right now. Because what I need right now, you can't provide, or else I wouldn't be here. Is this helping? All it is a conversation with yourself. Not beating you up. It's take 5 minutes. Say, God, in this whole week of confusion, let me just be quiet for 5 minutes and hear what you're saying. And it won't be a week if you learn to do that. I've had people do things to me that recently that hurt me. And I felt all kind of anger and rage and disappointment and bitterness and all kind of stuff. And in the middle of it, it was like, ooh, I'm going to need to do this. I need to do this. And God said, you going to stop? And I was like, in a minute, God, let me finish. I need to vent a little bit more. And God was like, let me know when you're ready. I said, you know what? Talk to my spirit. And all of a sudden, this peace that passes understanding came over me. Didn't change anything that I can see. Changed my heart. Changed my expectations. It changed my peace. It changed my view of the whole thing. All of a sudden, a compassion rose up where anger was. All of a sudden, an understanding of somebody else's judgment took the place of, like, why join that person in their judgment? You just stay in peace yourself. You can't help them if you join them. You need to stay here. Focused. Peace. Yes, Lord. But God, I want to cuss so bad. Just one, God. God said, no, you can. But then tell me how it's going to help you. It's not. Okay. Delete your text that you were about to hit send on. Just delete it. Just delete it. Yep, you got it all out. Now just delete it. And just be still. Flesh don't want to be still. Flesh want to do something now. Some head's going to roll. Somebody going to pay. Come on, you know what I'm talking about. God was like, no, shh, 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 shh. Got two minds here. You going with the renewed one, or you going with the earthly one? You going to follow the flow of my spirit, or you going to get entangled in something that eventually you're going to have to come back to me anyway, so we can fix this now? And last thing I'll say, sometimes you got to go back a couple of times. Because you surrender yourself over to the mind of Christ, and that thing over there just keep hitting, and you're like, you know what? I'm just going to put this down a minute. And the Lord have to say, no, 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 no. Pick it up one more time. Take a good look at it again. Just keep. You know? And after a while, just the peace comes over you. It's like, no, this is what I do. Why? Because you made the decision. So you get pulled back and forth because you're still deciding between them. You chose this, but you're still deciding. But once you made the decision that this is where I stand, can't be moved. Can't be moved. The Holy Spirit will get on you, and all of a sudden, a power will rise up in you you didn't know you had. A peace will rise up in you you didn't know you had. You'll be able to stand back and say, I don't care what the doctor said. I don't care what the lawyer said. I don't care what the person said. I got an instruction from God, and I will not be moved. And my God, I'm going to tell you something. There's a power that comes with that. Now your expectation is different. Your faith's in a different level. I will say this to you. I know I said I was closing a while ago, but let me just say this to you because it's important. The best thing you got from being saved was not the gifts and trinkets. It was to change expectation. The hope that you can believe that despite your circumstances, everything can work out if you trust God. Only thing I'm asking you to do now is get direction. Stop roaming around, being knocked around by life, push this, run to and fro wherever you wave to see, driven wind like the wind and toss. Let not that person believe they will receive anything for the Lord. A double-minded person is unstable in all their ways. What he said, so you believe, you stand, you lock onto the mind of Christ, and you hold your ground, and then say, God, give me the strength to stand. But that's a decision that comes with everything that faces you. How many of you are facing a few things right about now? Facing a few things. See, you got a room full of people facing some stuff. Make the decision. The reason you're still facing some of it with pressure is because decision has not been made to get a word from God and then focus on that and not be moved. Get a word and then stand. And if you anchor yourself on that, your emotions won't take you anymore. They won't have the power to do it. If you anchor yourself on the truth, you will not be moved like the house anchored on the rock. The rains can come, the winds can slush around, but you'll be founded on the rock and you won't be moved. The rock is where I'm founded on Jesus. That's not what that's talking about. That's for salvation. I'm talking about for today and everyday life. You need to find a principle or what the Bible called a standard. And you raise that standard. This is the word I'm standing on right now. I told you my word right there. That Proverbs 16 right there, right now, that's my lifeline for where I'm standing. And every time pressures come at me, I go, pfft. And when the enemy sees he can't mess with you on the inside, he'll try to get somebody from the outside. If you see somebody outside can't with you, then he'll try to get somebody a little bit closer to you. And he'll just keep on moving. Come on now. He'll just keep on. But once he sees that you're not moving, he got to go about his business. He'll go find somebody else weaker next door who's going to give right in. But if you stand your ground and say, yeah, I see you. You almost made me refocus for a minute. I'm here. I'm on my Proverbs 16 right now. I'm casting my cares on the Lord and rolling my thoughts on him. And he's causing my thoughts to become agreeable with his will. And everything that he's established in my life is going to provide for itself. It's going to accommodate itself. I am not refocusing. Somebody look at that thing. There's a lot of you raise your hand. You don't have to tell me what it is. But just right now between you and God, just say, I am finding my focus and I'm not moving. And just talk about it a little bit between you and God. Just have a little conversation with you and God right now about it. I don't need to know it. You don't need to talk to me about it. But just begin to say right now, God, show me, give me the word I need for this season. Show me what I'm standing on right now. Give me my anchor right now, Lord. Right now. You don't have to wait till I get home over my Bible. No, right now. Say, God, show me exactly where I need to be standing in this season of my life. Show me exactly where my anchor needs to be and give me that word that I can anchor myself on and then stand. It's just that simple. Now, it can't be that simple. Okay, well, I'm telling you it is. And if you say it's not that simple, you're right. According to your faith, be it unto you, then it's not. But I'm telling you it is. My thoughts, my mind that's planning my steps, I want to be the mind of Christ, not the mind of my education and my flesh. I have those, and I use those, but not in everything I do. Amen? Amen. Amen.